Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, we will have the class number 24 in the spiritual clinic, and actually it is class number 13 regarding the answered supplication. And we are studying the belief of the benefit in Allah's decree. And class title of the class of today is The Cured Medicine for Worry and Success, Part 2. Today, inshallah, we'll continue to learn about the benefits of the belief in Allah's decree in Al-Qadr, which includes, number one, sincerity and straight adherence to Allah's commandments. Actually, as we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the controller of all the affairs, so it will be the duty of the Muslim to have the sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all his deeds and in all his sayings, and to be adherent to all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that inshaAllah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower him with his and blessings, and inshaAllah the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be always protecting him, and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be inshaAllah the source of mercy in his life, as we clarified in details in the class of last week. The second benefit of the belief in Allah's decree is to have power and determination. We must believe that none can cause benefit except Allah. So the strong believer is the one who always having the power, that so long Allah is supporting him, inshallah everything will be inshallah in the best shape. The strong believer never use the word if, because the word if causes despair and weakness. As we clarified before, that whatever Allah decreed for me is inshallah the good for me, so I am content and I have the power and determination to continue my life even if I have the hardships and trials, because I believe that none can cause benefit except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am a true believer in Allah, and I am obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me the power. The third benefit of belief in Allah's decree is the ease of mind and comfort. Because when the individual knows that everything is by Allah's decree, and that mishaps are going to take place anyway, his soul will be at ease and his heart will be satisfied with Allah's decree. None can change what Allah has decreed. No one has more comfortable life, worry-free soul, than the believer in Allah's decree. Number four of the benefits of the belief in Allah's decree is the freedom from worry or guilt in case of failure or mishaps, because that is by Allah's decree, the one who possesses the heavens and the earth. Now we will read from the Quran, from Surah Al-Hadid, Surah number 57, verse number 22 and 23, so that it will be clear to every spirit that there is no room for worry or guilt in case of failure, because that is by Allah's decree. بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور.
No calamity befalls on the earth or in yourselves, but is inscribed in the book of decrees. before we bring it into existence. Verily, that is easy for Allah. In order that you may not grieve at the things that you fail to get, nor rejoice over that which has been given to you. And Allah likes not every prideful boaster.
Actually, it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the believer from the worry, guilt, grief, or sadness in case of failure. These negative feelings are the reason for the depression, lack of confidence, and despair, which are the real enemies of the healthy spirit. So in order to have your spirit always healthy, try always to remember this verse of the Quran that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. No misfortune can happen on earth, but it is recorded in a decree before Allah bring it into existence. And this is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah is mentioning that you may not grieve for what escapes you, nor rejoice in what has come to you. This is actually the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we believers, insha'Allah, must not grieve for what escapes us, because actually all is up to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next, the next benefit of the belief in Allah's decree is the acceptance and contentment. Allah. Now we will read from Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 286, in order to know how the belief in Allah's decree is the source of acceptance and contentment for the believers, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إثرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah burdens not a person beyond his scope. He gets reward for that good which he has earned, and he is punished for the evil which he has earned. Our Lord, punish not if we forget our fall into error. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden like that which you did lay on those before us. O Lord, put not on us a greater burden, a burden greater than we have strength to bear. Pardon us and grant us forgiveness. Have mercy upon us. You are our protector, and give us victory over the disbelieving people. Ameen.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, it is within the frame of Allah's mercy that the believer is content in the belief that Allah is fully aware of his abilities and limitations, and Allah will not overburden him or subject him to any hardship or trial beyond his scope. This is actually a Quranic rule that all the hardships, trials, and problems which we may have in our lives are within our abilities, a reality which leads to a feeling of acceptance and submission to all the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, sisters, I have to clarify this fact and this Quranic rule in more details, so that inshallah this will lead to a feeling of acceptance and contentment with Allah's decree. We must believe that Allah said, and whatever Allah said in the Quran is the rule and is the fact which runs life. Allah said, Allah burdens not a person beyond his scope. This means that whatever hardships or trials you faced in the past of your life, or you are facing in the present of your life, or you may face it in the future of your life, they are all, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, within your abilities and within your limitations, and you can tolerate them, and they are not beyond your scope. This fact has to be clear to the spirit, because when you believe that whatever I am facing is within my limitations and abilities, you will be trying to accept it, and you will be trying to actually find solutions for it, and you will be trying to be patient while handling this hardship. Our problem with the hardships and trials is that we are always under the impression that, oh Allah, these burdens are beyond my scope, these burdens I can't tolerate them. And then we start to question Allah, oh Allah, why you are testing me with burdens and with hardships which are beyond my scope. This is a wrong rule. All burdens that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us with, or actually all burdens which we are facing in our life, are within our scope. This fact has to be clear, and I must remind myself every night before sleeping, myself, and sisters again and again, the true believer is always having a conversation with herself every night before she sleeps. Because when you have the conversation with yourself, this means that you are analyzing the facts of your life, and you are trying always to be following the right path. So every night you must send this message to your spirit. My spirit, whatever we are facing, whatever we are having, these hardships in our life, in my life, are within my scope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never put a burden more than the limitations and the abilities. Allah is the most merciful. My spirit, let us face that reality. Let us try to accept the hardship. Let us try to be content with the hardship. Let us try to feel that this hardship is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help me and will support me in order, inshallah, to be patient and inshallah to try to accept this hardship, and with the help of Allah and with the belief that it is within my scope, inshallah, you will be able to tolerate it. Okay, so sisters, for your sake, okay, always send this message to yourself: Allah burdens you not beyond your scope. Okay, and always try to send another message to yourself. Tell to yourself, myself, if you are not happy with the hardship which I am facing today, let us check the hardships of the others. Let us tell that, are you willing to change your hardship with the hardship of your neighbor, or with the hardship with your sister, or with the hardship of the, you know, other people? If you try to check the hardships of the other, you will realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, is always testing the people within their limitations. For example, for me, Mona, I can have my hardship, for example, that I was a pediatrician and I studied very long time of my life, then Allah decreed for me that I will never work anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for me to live away from my family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for me that my daughters will marry and none of them will live with me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for me that my husband will be working day and night. All this is the decree of Allah for me. But still, all of this is within limitation. This what Mona can tolerate, Allah knows. For me, for example, I can't tolerate to live, you know, in a place where there is no masjid. I can't tolerate to live in a place where there are no sisters in Allah. I can't tolerate, for example, to live in a place where there is no day and night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows my limitation. He knows what I can tolerate and what I can't tolerate. And Allah will never burden any human being more than what he or she can tolerate. So always be sure that whatever you are having of hardships in your life, they are within your limitation, and inshallah you can accept them, and inshallah you can be patient with Allah's decree, you can be a believer in Allah's decree, and inshallah with your patience and belief, inshallah Allah will make for you an outlet. So always be away from the feeling that Allah is putting for me a burden which is beyond my scope. This is wrong. in the belief in Allah's decree, this is wrong in your relation with Allah the Most Merciful, because if you live your life under the impression that Allah is putting for you a burden beyond your scope, you will hate the religion, you will hate Astaghfirullah al-Azim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will, yes, this is the problem, you know, of the people. You know, you will have despair, okay, you will be very weak, you will not, you will never try to improve your situation, because all the time you are blaming Allah, you are blaming the decree, you are blaming, you know, your luck. Okay, this is how the people are living their lives. Okay, I don't have luck. I am the one for the problems. My life is hardship. Everything is beyond my scope. So what can I do? I am helpless. I am very weak. I am desperate. Okay, I forget about prayer. I forget about the masjid. I forget about Allah. And this is how the people have depression. And this is how the people, they move for the drugs. And this is how the people actually lose their life in the worldly life, because their life is a miserable one, and this is the way for the hellfire. So again and again, sisters, let us have the rules of the Quran as the source of the mercy in our life. Every night tell to yourself, Allah burdens not a person beyond his scope. My spirit, everything is within our limitation. My spirit, let us have hope in Allah the Most Merciful. My spirit, we are strong believer in Allah's decree and in the mercy of Allah, and inshallah we will keep the hope in Allah, trust in Allah, until inshallah Allah will be the one to solve the problem. This is the medication for your spirit. This Quranic rule is very important for your spirit to be healthy and to be strong, and inshallah to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, close to Allah, calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah to remove the harm, and inshallah Allah will answer your supplication, so that you are a believer in His unity and a believer in His decree. Actually, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, how wonderful is the case of a believer. There is goodness for him in everything, and this is not the case with anyone except for a believer. If prosperity attends him, he expresses gratitude to Allah, and that is good for him. And if adversity befalls him, he endures it patiently, and that is also good for him. So the rule is that the believer is always content with Allah's decree, assured that the Most Merciful will not charge his soul with more than it can tolerate. Always you send the message to your spirit and to your soul, Allah will never charge me with more than what I can bear or tolerate. Number two, the believer is always living a life of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The believer will always convince himself and herself, myself, we are living the life of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because at the time of prosperity, the believer is thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a rewardable deed. And at the time of adversity, the believer is patient with Allah's decree, and it is also a rewardable deed. So let us prove our belief to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can I prove that I am a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in His decree? I can prove by living my life either thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or patient at times of adversity. When you tell me, Sister Mona, what about your spirit? What are the feelings in your spirit? I will answer you that all praise to Allah. And actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught me that the believer must be living either thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, because the believer will always appreciate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is again and again, sisters, the problems of we Muslims, is that we take all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granted. We are not thankful to Allah because we have wealth, health, because everyone is having health. No, not everyone is having health. Hospitals are full of chronic ill patients whom they are bedridden for years and years. So everyone must be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having vision, having hearing, touching, smelling, tasting, movement, reflection. You must be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah is giving you life every day. There are people whom they go to bed at night, then next day they are already dead. Allah will not give them life. So number one, I must be thankful to Allah that He is giving me the chance to be alive every day. Okay, because alhamdulillah, being alive is giving me a possibility to do good deeds and to be closer to the paradise, inshallah. So I must be thankful to Allah under any circumstances every day when I wake up in the morning, believing that there are many people, thousands of people, they were dead that night. Number two, I must be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having the health. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then I must be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is actually before the health, that I am a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the biggest gift in life is the belief. Because alhamdulillah, when you are a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you live with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being thankful to Him all the time, this means that your spirit will be always in the situation of hope, in the situation of trust, reassurance, because being thankful is reflecting your positive feelings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise to Allah. This is the belief. The belief is your way to patience in life. So when you have hardship, you will be patient. All praise to Allah. Patience is half the belief. So number one, I must be thankful that Allah make me to wake up today in the morning. Number two, I must be thankful that I am a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, I must be thankful that Allah is giving me the health. All praise to Allah. Number four, I must be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I can find provision for today. Only today. Because tomorrow, maybe I will not be around in this life. So having provision for the day must be a way to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having a roof or a shelter, a house, even one bedroom or one room, all praise to Allah. Human being can't live in two rooms at the same time. Human being can only live in one place at a time. So having one room, clean room, all praise to Allah, this is more than what the human being needs. This is how we have to evaluate our worldly life, from the basic concept that I am so thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of all the blessings, because all the blessings are out of His mercy. He can prevent me from all of this. He has the right. But if He showers me with all these blessings, I must be always thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not supposed to say, oh Allah, I am living in a rent apartment. Why I don't own a very big house? Oh Allah, I have a small car. Why I don't have a new big car? Oh Allah, I don't have a big family. Why? Oh Allah, this is not the believer. The believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always appreciating the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is out of His mercy. The believer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because all praise to Allah, this is the best for the spirit. So number one, the believer will be either thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or at the time of adversity, the believer will be patient with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that Allah is testing him with adversity so that he will be patient. And Allah said in the Quran that patience will be rewarded without limitations. All praise to Allah. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Those whom they are patient, Allah will reward them with no limitations. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Part of this reward for the patient people is that they are accepting the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of hardship. They are having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the highest priority. Nothing can shake the relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise to Allah. This is the basic fundamental needs for the spirit to be healthy. The spirit can be healthy when the spirit will always feel that Allah is always planning for me for the best. If Allah is testing me because Allah wants me to be patient and Allah wants to reward me with no limitations, all praise to Allah. The believer is always after the belief that whatever from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good for me. I am either thankful, which is half of the belief, or I am patient, which is half of the belief. So the believer will live all his life getting a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every minute. So inshallah, to prove to yourself that you are a believer in Allah's oneness and you are a believer in Allah's decree, check your feelings towards Allah. Always be either thankful or patient. Thankful or patient. Never to complain, never to be sad, never to despair from Allah's mercy, because if you have these negative feelings, you are not a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Now, inshallah, we will know another proof from the Quran that inshallah will always make you to be content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we will read from Surah number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 216.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum. وعسى أن تحبوا شيئا وهو شر لكم والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون.
And it may be.
And it may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you and that you like a thing which is bad for you. Allah knows, but you do not. But you do not.
No. Okay. So actually, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is teaching us this Quranic rule, which is: it may be that you hate a thing while it is good for you, and it may be that you love a thing while it is bad for you. Allah knows while you don't know. This verse is a call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifying that man cannot pretend to know where his good lies. But Allah, the all-knower, knows for certain. A fact that man must accept and act upon it by submitting himself to Allah alone. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who knows what is good and what is bad, so I must submit to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I must accept Allah's decree whether I like it or not, because I don't know. So long I don't know, how can I will choose? For example, when I tell you, sisters, I decide to return back to my country. From my point of view, this is the best for me. Then when I try to arrange, how to return back, I notice that it is blocked. I can't, So at that point, I have to tell to myself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the good and I don't know it. In spite of the fact I like to return, but it looks that it is not good for me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always chooses the good and chooses the best. Okay? So I will accept Allah's decree. When I try to return back to my country, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will block all the ways for me. As a believer in Allah's decree and in Allah's knowledge, I have to say all praise to Allah. I am accepting Allah's decree because Allah is saying that it may be that I love a thing while it is bad for me, and because it is bad for me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevent me from it. Okay, it is always noted that man weak and short-sighted, as he would reject something which is in fact good for him. or love something which is in fact evil and harmful for him. Actually, there are some people, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reject what they like, okay, they become desperate and they become upset and sad, and they are saying, why Allah is not allowing me to do what I like, because you don't know and Allah knows. Okay, so you must accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you don't like it, based on the belief that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it may be that you love a thing while it is bad for you. Then the rule is that, by accepting that Allah alone has the knowledge of everything, and whatever Allah decreed is always for the best, this motivates you to preserve in the face of adversity, because a pleasant and favorable outcome may be waiting for you. So the spirit of the believer will be always in a world of peace, security, and acceptance at both adversity and prosperity. You see how the Quran is the cure and medicine for the spirits. Okay? Because this comforting thought revives man's hopes and optimism, drawing him more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with more reassurance and acceptance. When I plan for something, then Allah prevent me from it, I will tell to myself, it may be that I love something which is bad for me. All praise to Allah. All praise to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect me from my wrong choice. All praise to Allah. I am accepting the decree of Allah. I am accepting that Allah prevent me from what I like or I love, because I don't know and Allah knows. This is the attitude of the believer. And because of that, the believer will be always close to Allah. Never despair from Allah. Never to lose hope from Allah. Never to be sad with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is always believing that, in spite of the fact I love something, Allah prevents me from having it, because Allah knows and I don't know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always choosing the best for the believer. The next benefit from believing in Allah's decree is the freedom of arrogance. Actually, when doing any action, you must believe in two facts. Number one, Allah knows and you don't know, as we mentioned now. And number two, the cause and effect of all actions are only up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why you are arrogant? Why the people are arrogant? If they don't have a will, and the will is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they don't have knowledge, and Allah is having the knowledge. So human beings are supposed to be always having the freedom of arrogance, because the will is to Allah and the knowledge is to Allah. And now we will read from the Quran the proof for that fact from Surah number 64, verse number 11. Actually, we will read verse number 57, number 23. Verse number 57, verse number...
Surah 57,
Hadith? Yes, verse number 23. Because in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that it is all up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us read 22 and 23. We just read it now, but we will read it again, because it is related, you know, to the same topic, which is the freedom of arrogance.
So from 22 till 23?
22 and 23.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور.
No calamity befalls on the earth or in yourselves, but it's inscribed in the book of decrees before we bring it into existence. Verily, that is easy for Allah. in order that you may not grieve at the things that you fail to get, nor rejoice over that which has been given to you. And Allah likes not every prideful boaster.
Thank you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that no calamity befalls on the earth or in ourselves, but it is inscribed in the book of decrees. That is to say, everything in life is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the will of Allah that is controlling everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that in order that you will not rejoice over that which you has been given to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of all the blessings in life. Okay, and because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and Allah likes not prideful boasters. Okay, the true believers is never having the feeling of arrogance, because he always refer all the blessings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he believes that it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the source of all the mercy on the earth. So alhamdulillah, now we will move to the eighth benefit of the belief in Allah's decrees, which is never to call on anyone other than Allah to remove the harm. Okay, actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in many verses of the Quran about this reality and about this fact and about this command and about this divine law, never to call on anyone other than Allah to remove the harm. Actually now we will read from some surahs of the Quran about this rule, so that inshallah it will be clear to all the spirits, never to call on any human being or in any angel or in any Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim other any creature on the earth, because they are all created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we only call on Allah, the only will and the only power, the one to remove our harm. Now we will read from surah number 5, surah al-Ma'idah, verse number 76. We will read now.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أتعبدون من دون الله ما لا يملك لكم ضرا ولا نفعا والله هو السميع العليم.
Say O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to mankind, how do you worship besides Allah something which has no power either to harm or benefit you? But it is Allah who is the all-hearer, the all-knower.
Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that people are not supposed to worship beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anything or anyone, because none has power to harm or to benefit. Okay. Again, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In surah number 13, verse number 16, we will read about the same Quranic rule.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل من رب السماوات والأرض قل الله قل أفاتخذتم من دونه أولياء لا يملكون لأنفسهم نفعا ولا ضرا قل هل يستوي الأعمى والبصير أَمْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الظُّلُمَاتُ وَالنُّورِ.
Say, is the blind equal to the one who sees, or the darkness equal to light?
Again, we will read in English from Surah number 13, verse number.
Say, O Muhammad, who is the Lord of the heavens and the earth? Say, it is Allah. Say, have you then taken for worship protectors other than him, such as have no power either to benefit or to harm to themselves, or to do harm for themselves? Say, is the blind equal to the one who sees, or darkness equal to the light?
Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the power to benefit and to cause harm. So we are supposed to worship only the one who has the power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, we will read the same Quranic rule in Surah number 17, verse number 56.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ادعوا الذين زعمتم من دونه فلا يملكون كشف الضر عنكم ولا تحويلا.
Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, call upon those besides him who you pretend to be gods.
Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying again, and always it is starting these verses by say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, call upon those beside him whom you pretend to be gods. They have neither the power to remove the adversity from you, nor even to shift it from you to another person. This is the clarification that the will and the power is only to Allah, and we have to call only on Allah for the benefit and to remove the harm. Again, we will read from Surah number 39, verse number 38, in order to be assured that Allah repeated many times in the Quran, calling and challenging the people that they are not supposed to call on anyone other than Allah to remove the harm. Surah number 39, verse number 38.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ قُلْ أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِنْ أَرَادَنِي اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ هَلْ هُنَّ كَاشِفَاتُ ضُرِّهِ أَوْ أَرَادَنِي بِرَحْمَةٍ هَلْ هُنَّ مُمْسِكَاتُ رَحْمَتِهِ قُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ يَتَوَكَّلُ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ.
And verily, if he asks them, who created the heavens and the earth? Surely they will say, Allah has created them. Say, tell me then the things that you invoke besides Allah. If Allah intended some harm for me, could they remove his harm? Or if Allah intended some mercy for me, could they withhold his mercy? Say, sufficient for me is Allah, in him whose trust must put their trust.
Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is again teaching us that when we call for removing the harm, or call, when we are calling for the benefit, it is only has to be the call has only be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is sufficient for the believers. In him we must put our trust. Okay? None can remove the harm, none can cause benefit except the one who has the will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no room to call in anyone beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we will read from Surah number 48, verse number 11, in order to know, inshaAllah, about this Quranic rule.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل فمن يملك لكم من الله شيئا إن أراد بكم ضرا أو أراد بكم نفعا. بل كان الله بما تعملون خبيرا.
Say, who then has any power to intervene on your behalf with Allah if he intends to hurt you or intends to benefit you? Nay, but Allah is ever well acquainted with what you do.
Okay. Actually, in most of these verses, there is a challenge to those who associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The challenge is simply that they should call on those partners to remove any harm that befalls them, so that they can be sure that no one can remove hardship or change its nature except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. He alone is the controller of all the destinies of all the creation. All those deities, be they angels, jinn, or human, are no more than forms of Allah's creation. They all try to find their way to Allah's pleasure, the Lord of the universe. When this belief is firmly settled in a believer's heart, the matter is settled. There is no more argument. The only fear or hope such a believer may have is only centered on what comes from Allah. So why should a true believer in Allah fear anything? What can he fear? What he can hope for when no one other than Allah can remove harm from him or withhold grace? It is the belief in Allah's decree that leaves no room for any doubt regarding the important fact in life, which is Allah's will is the one that is done. What is done in our life is only Allah's will. Let us have proofs for the previous rule from the Quran. Now we will have the proof from the Quran that no one is supposed to call in anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the harm. Even we are not supposed to call on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remove harm or to cause benefit, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he can't remove harm from himself and he can't cause benefit to himself, because he is just a human being and he is a powerless human being, but he is the most beloved to Allah, but still he is a powerless human being, and it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only that controls life. We will learn about this fact from the Quran. We will read now from Surah number 10, verse number 49. Actually, sometimes I feel that, you know, we must know all these facts. Even in with regards to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that your heart will be only connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the harm or to cause the benefit. None, even Prophet Muhammad, none, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Rahman Rahim. قل لا أملك لنفسي ضرا ولا نفعا إلا ما شاء الله. لكل أمة أجل.
Until may you will. Three lines. The first three lines.
Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have no power over any harm or profit to myself except that which Allah will, may will.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and instructing him. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of Allah's creation, the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing him in this verse to clarify and to say that he doesn't have any power to bring harm or to benefit to himself. To remove harm or to benefit to himself, he certainly can't bring any benefit or remove any harm to other people. If he can't help himself, so he can't help other people. It is all then by Allah's will. Only Allah the Almighty brings His word to pass, and He puts His warning into effect whenever He pleases. We will know about this also from verse Surah number 7, verse number 188, so that it will be a clear concept in our mind that even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he can prevent harm or cause benefit to himself or to other people. So now we will read from Surah Al-A'raf, Surah number 7, verse number 188.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل لا أملك لنفسي نفعا ولا ضرا إلا ما شاء الله. ولو
كنت أعلم الغيب لاستكثرت من الخير وما مسني السوء إن أنا إلا نذير وبشير لقوم يؤمنون.
Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I possess no power over benefit or harm to myself except as Allah wills. If I had the knowledge of the ghaib, the unseen, I should have secured for myself an abundance of wealth, and no evil should have touched me. I am but a warner and a bringer of glad tidings to people who believe.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here again is instructing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, I possess no power over benefit or hurt to myself except as Allah's will. Okay, so it is again the same message to every human being, that even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he can't cause benefit or remove harm from himself or from the others, because he doesn't have the power and he doesn't have the will. It is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So the next benefit from the belief in Allah's decree is the total dependence and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the only one to remove the harm or to cause the benefit. We will read now from Surah Al-An'am, Surah number 6.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وإن يمسسك الله بضر فلا كاشف له إلا هو وإن يمسسك بخير فهو على كل شيء قدير. صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. If Allah touches you with harm, no one can remove it but He. And if He touches you with good, then He is able to do all things.
Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching for us the rule regarding harm and benefit in life. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can remove the harm, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can cause the benefit. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for us the same message in Surah Yunus, Surah number 10, verse number 107. Surah number 10, verse number 107.
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإن يمسسك الله بضر فلا كاشف له إلا هو وإن يردك بخير فلا راد لفضله يصيب به من يشاء من عباده وهو الغفور الرحيم. صدق.
And if Allah touches you with harm, there is none who can remove it but He. And if He intends any good for you, there is none who can repel it. His favor, which He causes it to reach whomever. Stop. Let me try again. Okay. If Allah. No, let me do it.
You want to do it?
Okay.
Actually, Surah number 10, verse number 107, and if Allah touches you with hurt, there is none can remove it but Allah. And if He intends any good for you, there is none who can rebel His favor, which He causes it to reach whomsoever of His slaves He wills. And He is the of forgiving, the most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us in this verse using very specific words. Allah is saying, if Allah touches you with hurt, the very, 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 very minimal hurt is only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is only up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, if Allah subhanahu and none can remove it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the cause is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the solution and the removal of the hurt is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means that the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is behind the hurt, and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is behind the removal of that hurt. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that He, if Allah this is the intention of Allah. If Allah intends something good for you, there is none who can rebel that favor. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always causes it to reach whosoever of His slaves He wills. All the verse is around the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the intention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only will, the only power, the source of mercy on the earth. Accordingly, after we learn all these benefits of the belief in Allah's decree, there will be a declaration which every believer must have in regards to the belief in Allah's decree, and this is mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, Surah number 9, verse number 51. This has to be the declaration of every believer in regards to, with regards to the belief in Allah's decree.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل لن يصيبنا إلا ما كتب الله لنا هو مولانا وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون.
Say, nothing shall ever happen to us except with what Allah has ordained for us. He is our protector, and in Allah let the believers put their trust.
Okay, so actually after Alhamdulillah we learn about the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the belief in Allah's decree and the benefits of the belief in Allah's decree. This will be the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to every believer, always to say, nothing shall ever happen to me except what Allah has ordained for me. And Allah is my Lord, my helper, my protector. I put my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. All praise to Allah. This declaration must be the source of reassurance, trust, power, determination for the believer. Because Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah, the believer, Alhamdulillah, is believing, and he has the clear sight and the clear belief that it is only up to the most merciful. All his affairs are up to the most merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so long all our affairs are only up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe that Allah is our guardian, and we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse will always stimulate the feelings of comfort, relief, and tranquility in the spirit of the believer. The next benefit regarding the belief in Allah's decree is that trials expiate sins. We must know that complaining about Allah to His creatures and weeping out things that one has missed out in the worldly life are the characteristic of the worst of the creatures, because they don't trust the Lord, the most merciful, the all-forgiving, who never cause a soul to charge more than what it can tolerate. Those are the losers in both lives. In the worldly life, they always feel desperate, and they fear the worst possible outcome when any problem or trial befalls them. So they are always sad, worried, losing patience, very nervous. Due to their stress, their sorrows seem to multiply, which leads them to stay away from the truth, away from Allah, so the shaitan will control them completely, away to both a miserable worldly life and to the hellfire. So again and again, sisters, if you are a true believer in Allah's decree, as we clarified, and if you learn the benefits of the belief in Allah's decree, So there will be no room in your spirit to complain from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those whom they complain from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this means that they don't believe in Allah's decree and they don't accept it and they don't accommodate it. Accordingly, they are never patient, they are never reassured, they don't have trust in Allah, they are always worried, upset, unhappy, and this will make the shaitan to have a way to their spirit, a way which will make them to have a miserable worldly life away from the trust in Allah and the acceptance of His decree and the belief in His oneness, and this will be the way to the hellfire. But the true believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in His decree, they must always remember the following hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, never is a believer stricken with a discomfort, an illness, an anxiety, a grief, or mental worry, or even the pricking of a thorn, except that some of his sins are expiated for him. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us with hardship, and we are patient, and we accept, and we believe in Allah's decree, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the hardship to be the way for expiation of our sins. Number two, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the believing man or woman will continue to be afflicted by hardships in themselves, their families, their wealth, until they meet Allah with absolutely no sins. Number three, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the amount of reward from Allah is proportional to the amount of hardship. So, the more hardship, the more removal of the more reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the more expiation of the sins. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, if Allah wills good for his slave, he tries him in this world. But if he wills evil for him, then he doesn't hasten to punish him for his sins, but will delay him until he is called to account on the day of judgment. And actually, it is always the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us to have hardships in our life so that our sins will be expiated, so that inshallah on the day of judgment, which is the most important day for the life of the believer, there will be inshallah no sins. Actually, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if Allah has decreed a rank for one of his servants to reach, but his deeds would not suffice him to reach this rank, then Allah will afflict him with hardship in his body, wealth, and offspring. Therefore, he will preserve through this until he reaches the rank that Allah has decreed for him to reach. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, those who face the toughest trials are the prophets, then those who are nearest to them, and a person will be tested according to the strength of his faith. At the end, sisters, are prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can, alhamdulillah, feel the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all His decree, and we can always live our life either thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all His blessings, or patient with Allah's decree, believing that it is always good for the believer, and it will be always rewardable deeds for the believer who is living his life either thankful or patient with Allah's decrees. And at the end, inshallah, I will give you a dua, and this dua, inshallah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, will be a supplication for anxiety and sorrow, and it is related to the belief in Allah's decree. I will mention to you now, inshallah. O Allah, I am your servant, son of your servant, son of your maid servant. My full look is in your hand, your command over me is forever executed, and your decree over me is just. I ask you by every name belonging to you, which you named yourself therewith, or revealed in your book, or you taught to any of your creation, or you have preserved in the knowledge of the unseen with you, that you make the Quran the life of my heart and the light of my chest and an abasant of my sorrow and a relief of my anxiety. Okay. Actually, you can say and a relief or removal of my sorrow and relief of my anxiety. I will read it again. O Allah, I am your servant, son of your servant, son of your maid servant. My forelock is in your hand. Your command over me is forever executed, and your decree over me is just. I ask you by every name belonging to you, which you named yourself therewith, or revealed in your book, or you taught to any of your creation, or you have preserved in the knowledge of the unseen with you, that you make the Quran the life of my heart, the light of my chest, and the removal of my sorrow, and the relief of my anxiety. In this dua, the slave is clarifying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is accepting his decree, and he is living his life according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Accordingly, he is calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his book, the Quran, which is the book of mercy, cure and healing, that Allah will make the Quran the light of the chest and the life of the heart and the source of the removal of the sorrow and the relief of the anxiety. Let every one of us actually memorize that dua and always repeat it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a proof of the belief in Allah's decree and a way insha'Allah for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Insha'Allah, next week we will learn about the medications which Allah mentioned in the Quran in regard to the hurt and harm in our world. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك رحم من عندك تهدي بها قلوبنا وتجمع بها شملنا وتلم بها شعثنا وترد بها الفتن عنا وتحفظ بها غائبنا وترفع بها شاهدنا وتتكي بها أعمالنا وتحفظنا بها اللهم من كل سوء اللهم اهدنا في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيت واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام والعزة التي لا ترام نسألك يا الله يا رحمن أن تجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا ونور صدورنا وجلاء همومنا وذهاب أحزاننا اللهم علمنا منه ما جهلنا وذكرنا منه ما نسينا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وأطراف النهار على الوجه الذي يرضيك عنا ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
الراحمين. اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماعا مرحوما، واجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما، ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما. اللهم لا تجعل لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا كربا إلا نفسته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته، ولا دينا إلا قضيته، ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها لنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ارحمنا والدينا والمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.